with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91. 14, verse number 27, and then we're going to move into chapter 15. And once again, we're going to see that even though a problem arises, discord arises, that if we will pursue it with the mind of God, the heart of God, and the Spirit of God, we're going to get a God-glorifying result. So Acts chapter 14, verse number 27. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he, capital H, had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So we're going to stop the reading there for right now. That was Acts chapter 15 and verse number 2. We'll pick that up here either later in this broadcast or tomorrow's. So Paul and Barnabas, they meet together with some of the people at the church in Antioch, they preach the word in verse number 25 of Acts 14. When they'd preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. I really liked that verse, because it was not just that they responded to the call, not just that they had said yes to whatever God had in mind, but they had been commended to the grace of God. So let me take you back to Acts chapter 13 so you can see that. It said in Acts chapter 13, verse number 1, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they had ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them.' Then having fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, and they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews." They had been commended to the grace of God. They had been commended to the grace of God. That's in verse number 26. And we see that they were commended to the grace of God for the work that they were getting ready to undertake, and now they're coming back having completed that work. I'm here to tell you this morning that it's the grace of God working in us that accomplishes things that are going to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not our wisdom. I have this philosophy that anytime Washington tells me that they're getting ready to help me out financially, I start grabbing my wallet because it's getting ready to cost me more money. That's just the personal experience that I have. I realize that anytime man tries to come up with a solution, that most of the time there is going to be some side effects, there are going to be some consequences from man's solution that are going to be on the unpleasant side. I don't think I'm the only one that whenever I see commercials on television advertising a new medical pharmaceutical product, that part of that commercial deals with all of the side effects that may occur as they're trying to treat something. And it's like, well, new pharmaceutical product that will solve an ingrown toenail. The side effect is your foot may fall off. That's a side effect I'm not really willing to risk. I think that there are other means available to me for that. And so whenever man comes up, there can be some very traumatizing and negatively impactful events, consequences that come. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But when we have been called by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and commended to the grace of God, and we choose to walk in obedience, the grace of God is going to cause the work to be completed in a manner that people are going to praise and glorify God. It says in verse number 27 of Acts 14, now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them. God doing through us, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Out and spoke to the broader audience that Peter had had this. And so when God opened that door of faith, the Gentiles were much more willing to receive. Fruitlessly, or with little fruit, God opened a door, and all of a sudden there was this man. Is not just a program. This is something we're putting a lot of effort into, and it's designed to get people grounded in the Word so that they are disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And so in that aspect, we have shifted our Wednesday night focus from just another Bible study or just another message. We have shifted that to an edification model where people are strengthened and grounded in their faith. That is very, very important. If you are only investing an hour a week in your spiritual life, you are probably going to live a life that is very challenging, because you've got 167 hours that are not edifying you spiritually. I'm not saying you're going to be awake around the clock, but even rest is a spiritual discipline. Ask me about it, I'll tell you. And so you and I, we need to have people who sow into us. I don't care who you are. You need people who can sow into your life. I am not the final authority on everything, Bob. I have people that I constantly inquire of and ask about or ask input from. And so I think everybody should have that going on in their life. So things are growing great at the end of chapter 14. There's reports of people being saved. Faith is growing. The number of disciples is increasing. Fellowship in that church in Antioch is just going gangbusters, if you will. And then chapter 15 comes. In chapter 15, there are certain men who came down from Judea. That would be north on the map of the world. You know, I tend to think of going down as towards the south, but it would be a dissension in elevation there. And they taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Okay, look at that word cannot right there. The what they were trying to say is that no matter if they had repented of their sins, no matter if they had asked Jesus to forgive them of those sins, no matter if they had joined the church, no matter if they had been baptized and baptized in the Holy Spirit, no matter if they were leading other people to Jesus, these false teachers came down and said, it is impossible for you to be saved unless you you walk in the covenant attributes that God gave to Abraham and to the Jewish people. You, unless you're circumcised, you cannot be saved. I want you to understand that it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that salvation is made possible. Okay? I believe that there's a lot of things that are blessings to the body of Christ, but make no mistake about it, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. Being circumcised does not have anything to do with whether or not you can be forgiven of your sin. So there was this false teaching that came into the revival that was taking place there in Antioch, and Paul and Barnabas said, I don't know who you guys are, but I can tell you that there are people being saved all throughout the Gentile world, and we have a strong disagreement with you here on this particular point. In verse number 2, it says, therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Now, I will say this. I believe that life after salvation ought to look remarkably different than it did before salvation. I believe that the spiritual strongholds in your life ought to start crumbling after you're saved. I believe that the words that come out of your mouth should be grace and faith empowered words that impart the love of God and the wisdom of God. There should be a different lifestyle. These teachers that came down to Antioch were trying to say was, if you're going to have any part in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to embrace our culture. And Paul and Barnabas said, we think that we have a different opinion about that. And so let's go back and revisit the process that we did before where we were able to remedy this situation. I will tell you that there are, you know, when I refer to them as good problems and bad problems. Throughout life, you're always going to have problems. But there are good problems and then there are bad problems. So when we first started our Fire Bible discipleship and we had to add more tables out, that was a good problem. Those are good problems. When you don't have enough parking, that's a good problem. When you've got to move to a larger room, those are good problems. When you've got people who are coming and trying to undermine new believers That's a bad problem, and it needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be dealt with right away. If you go back into the Word of God, and I'm going to see if I can find the parable of the sower here real quick, but you will find that that as soon as the Word goes forth and people put their faith in God, that there's an attack by the enemy that comes to try, and it's in Mark chapter 4, that it says in verse number 3, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away, and some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold." So listen to the explanation. Verse number 13, "And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parable? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away that word that was sown in their heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word of God, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones who sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." So if he can't deprive you of the word, then he wants to try and keep you from being grounded in the word, where you could survive difficult seasons. And then there's those who are, they are attacked with distraction, because the enemy wants to prevent you from being grounded in the Word of God. And so there's always these attacks. How are you going to respond to the attacks? Well, the best way that I know to do that is to be part of a group of believers where you can come and you can say, am I missing something? Do I have a blind spot? Blind spots are extremely terrifying. I don't know if you've ever been driving down the road and you went to change lanes and you looked in your rearview mirrors and there was a blind spot there, and there was a car that was in that blind spot, and then both of you are trying to occupy that same lane. If you're the person that's driving and you initiate the movement into that blind spot region, you're extremely embarrassed. You throw your hands up. I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. But if you're the person that the person is about to, you know, get up close and personal with, all of a sudden, you're not saying, oh, you're sorry, you're sorry. You're like, what are you doing? Not realizing that there's a blind spot. And so if you think that having a blind spot in your driving capacity is unnerving, I want you to know that a blind spot spiritually is even more unnerving. And so that is dealt with by having people who can see things that you cannot see. I'm going to tell you about a little pet peeve of mine, and I want you to know it is not because I am perfect in this area, because I'm not. A lot of times when I'm writing my sermon notes, when I read them, I write them, or I read them again, and then I go preach them. And a lot of times when I go preach, I say, well, there's a misspelled word. And, you know, I can adjust that on the fly because, and here's the reason why it's dangerous to be your own editor is you know what you were trying to say. And so many times you gloss over that. My pet peeve is professional journalists who are looking to post things online so quick that there's hardly a day goes by that I don't read an article that has been written by a professional writer and errors in vocabulary, the wrong word, the wrong punctuation, all of that sort of stuff, and it changes the meaning of the word. You have to scratch your head and say, what are they trying to say? And again, that writer has a blind spot because they know what they were trying to say. So in verse number 3 of Acts chapter 15, they're headed back to Jerusalem, back to where the elders of the church, if you will, are going to come together, and they're going to say, okay, what is the heart of God? What is the wisdom of God? What does the word of God have to say about this particular situation? I'm not so interested in what you've got to say. I'm not so interested in what I've got to say. I want to know, what does God have to say? We need to elevate the word of God to a higher place in our lives in these contemporary times than ever before. God says that he's exalted his word and his name above all things. And so those two things are very important, and I pray that you will grow in your relationship with the Word of God. So I want to just go the last minute of the program here and remind you once again that partnering with God in a fruitful ministry means that you are also going to get part of the reward for that fruitful ministry. And so if you would like to partner with WMIE over the next 6 months, write this number down, 321-632-1000. 321-632-1000. Tell them you heard Pastor Bob talking about the offering on the Refresh Radio program, and you just wanted to let them know you're going to be partnering financially over the next 6 months. There may be multiple people call at the same time. If you don't get through the first time, leave a message, call back later. But don't forget, you have an important part to play in this radio ministry, and we appreciate your help. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.